Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
And welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach Gus Bradley. And Gus, I know a lot of people want to hear you talk about the Jaguars, but I'm excited about today because it's Thursday. It's, yeah, the Gus Bradley Show and Jaguars Thursday after this. But then also tonight is the first game of the NFL season where the New England Patriots kick off against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You going to watch it?
I don't know if I'll be able to have a chance to watch it. Maybe catch the end of it.
Yeah.
But it is. It's all getting started. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is, but, you know, the college game kind of has that slow roll into it, you know, because you have the kickoff classic, and then you have a lot of the early games are against kind of inferior opponents, although this weekend in college football had a couple real good games. But when the NFL starts, it's like, here it is, let's roll.
Yeah, the NFL doesn't mess around, and, you know, it starts week one.
And big matchups.
There is, you know, and I think every team that's playing feels like they have a big matchup. And it's a great opportunity. It's, you know, not only the start of the season, but to have a home game. I think that's what our players are even more excited about.
I remember talking to you all the way back in training camp, and I was saying, what's your favorite part about training camp? And I remember you said walking to the practice field or onto the practice field for that very first day, because you said, hey, it's the start.
Right.
Know? For the regular season, if you had to pick one thing that was the best part of it, whether it be coming out of the tunnel and introductions or national anthem, what would be considered your favorite part of kickoff weekend in the NFL?
Well, I think that's it. The initial kickoff. You know, when you see the kicking team out there, return team, you know, and it starts the whole season. You know, to see that and guys going down the cover, and, you know, now it's begun. And I think, you know, there's so many unknowns, right, Lugs? I mean, here we are opening the season. And, you know, we've got some guys there, some familiar faces, but some new faces. And to see how they all gel together and come out and compete is, you know, I think that's exciting in itself.
Do you get goosebumps like I did for 10 years during the national anthem?
Oh, yeah.
At the very end of the national anthem, I was like,
yeah.
And even still to this day, I do.
Right, you do. And, you know, I think the excitement is you're just so excited for your own players. I mean, they get a chance to go out there and play at the highest level. And you're waiting to see how they perform. And, you know, can they be their best? And that's what they're after now. That doesn't change. And to see them go out there, I mean, how can't you be excited?
You said about, you know, you still have the thing about not knowing about, you know, because it's a new team and there's some new players and it's the first real game. And I know you always talk about eliminating anxiety for your team. But you got to have a little bit of anxiety about certain situations going into the first game.
Well,
the unknowns.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, even as a player, they're anxious, you know, but you hope it doesn't turn into anxiety. And, you know, we've just seen it through the years with some players and not being able to handle it. And, you know, but I'm really pleased with how our group is. I mean, this week has been a really, really good week of practice. And the players have been really focused. I mean, Monday was good. Wednesday, you know, when you come off that day off, Logs, and it's, you know, Wednesday hits and you're like, okay, it's on. And you just saw a different temperament, different demeanor, and a real strong focus by the team.
Now, me and you have talked for years about players taking ownership of a team, you know, because I think most teams, when they're young, coaches lead. And then until, you know, the organic things happen in the locker room and on the field, and teams have, you know, kind of been a war together, so to speak. Can you feel this team and the players on this team starting to take ownership?
Yeah, I think what you see is they're taking ownership on their specific side of the ball. You know, the offensive guys, you're starting to see them take ownership of the offense. Defense, you're starting to see them take ownership of the defense. And now you're starting to see it kind of come over to the team. You know, we're saying, hey, you know, let's not forget we're a team here. And the ownership part of the team is where you're starting to see that take place. And, boy, once they take it over completely and you see it come to fruition, I think that's when you should really get excited.
Game day. What is your game day like?
Well, I mean, it depends. You know, this is going to be a quick game. You know, preseason we had night games. And now, you know, when you wake up and you have a pregame meal – And then it's that wait, you know, Logs, the dreaded wait that you're in the locker room and you're waiting to go out in the field, the kickers and the quarterbacks, and you're like, okay, you know, this is something that we have to do. But you talk about anxious. That's when you get anxious, and it feels like such a long period of time before you go out to the actual field and play.
Do you have any rituals, habits that you do on game day? Like you wake up and – let's say you wake up, oh, I got to wake up at 5:30, or I got to wake up at 6 o'clock and I got to have a cup of coffee just like this on game day, and I got to put this sock on first on game day. Do you have any of those,
no,
those things?
No, I don't get into that too much. But, you know, the routine of going to pregame meal and then heading over to the stadium. And, you know, you have your last-minute responsibilities you go through. We have meetings still on our analytics. You know, that takes, you know, quite a bit of time just to, you know, quick run through that again. And, you know, you have your set meetings with different coaches in the morning. But, you know, after that, it's really, you know, you just get ready for the game.
There's nothing in particular that you got to eat on game day, pregame meal?
No.
No? Whatever strikes you?
That's right. That's right.
I was always one of those guys where, you know, you kind of, if you had a good game and you had, you know, something that that week, then the next week you might try it again. And then all of a sudden, you know, if it didn't work that week, you're like, ah, yeah, let me throw that one in the scrap heap.
Like I said before, start something new. A lot of guys like you, Hugs. No, yeah, and then you go on a away trip and they don't have that food, and now you're scrambling, you're all nervous. And yeah, no, we try to stay away from that as much as possible. Although many of our players, I'm sure, do have routines.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were some guys that I remember going to the locker room, and they would have literally the everything laid out. You know, I'm talking shoes, socks, jock, T-shirt, you know, tape. And it was almost like a mechanical process every week for some guys. And I was like, God, that's kind of weird. And my big concern was, what happens if something just gets a little amiss? Is the guy going to be a mental wreck today?
Right. You know, what I think that stems from is, you're right, I've seen many players, you know, their socks are laid out, their pants laid out, their shirt, jerseys laid out. But I think they get there so early, and they're so anxious that instead of just sitting in their chair watching, looking at the wall, they go, you know what, I'm going to lay my stuff out, you know, just to try to take by some time. And it developed into a routine. So, you know, there's quite a few, I'm sure, players that have their little routines like that.
The injuries on your roster, game day decisions, obviously your injury reports have come out the last couple of days to whether guys practice or not. And then tomorrow on Friday, you will give the status, which according to league rules, you'll have players listed as probable, out, you know, full, whatever it may be, doubtful, questionable, and a percentage is assigned to that. Do you anticipating having some flexibility in this game, or could this game be one of those things where we got 47 guys that can play, and here we go?
Yeah, I think, you know, we do have some guys out that we already know, you know, guys like Julius Thomas and Andre Brandt. So, you know, your inactives, you know, we have some guys like that, Sinderic. So it really fills up that seven pretty quickly. So even in the beginning of the week, middle of the week, you have a pretty good idea who your inactives are. Now, that's not how it is every week. It just, you know, by us in this beginning part of the season and what we chose to do with IR and keeping guys on the active roster, you know, we can kind of fill it out earlier.
One of those guys that's kind of in the question mode is Leroy Reynolds, who had a knee a couple weeks ago in the preseason. Brian Walters, I saw, practice full today, so positive for your offense.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, and, you know, he's, you know, that add dimension as a wide receiver and special teams player.
Yeah, and boy, watching him kind of finish up the preseason was really positive. And all of a sudden I saw that he was on the injury report to start the week out. I'm like, whoa, man, come on.
Yeah, no, he was generally pretty good. I think for us it's, you know, the ability with extended time to get guys back to 100%. I think he could have practiced. But, you know, that extra day that he had, I think, helped him get closer to that level.
And are you also the one thing I was talking about with ritual-wise – and that you're not a rituals guy, and I wasn't really one either. But is having the ritual of the regular season week feel good?
Yeah, we are creatures of habit, and we like routine, you know, as far as that's concerned. Hey, you know, today we do short yards, today we do goal line, this day we do red zone. You know, I think you get back into a flow. You try to mimic it, the third preseason game, the best you can.
Yeah, but it's never right.
It isn't. And some rules hold you back from completely – mimicking a regular season week. But, you know, I think the coaches, they like to get back into this routine part of it. And then it just rolls, you know, until a bye week.
Yeah, you're going to be probably in your 70s and still think that Friday is a short work day here. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Tuesday's a day off.
Right. And this week, you know, or this year, we've kind of changed our schedule a little bit and how we operate.
How so?
Well, you know, on usually Wednesday and Thursday, pretty good work days. And in the past, Friday was kind of a no-repeat Friday, we call it, where we go out there and we run through all first and second down, all the situations. Although we're not in pads, it's still more of a running tempo practice. Mm-hmm. Where now it's more of a walkthrough practice. And we felt like, you know, the biggest thing is after two good hard days of work, let's try to get our legs back, the health back, the hydration levels, you know, take care of soft tissues, you know, type parts in the body. So, you know, it's more of a, I don't know if you'll see benefit the first week, but as the season goes on, we're hoping to see benefits from that schedule.
Yeah, I was reading somewhere today, in fact, I think it's Jeff Fisher, and that some of the, you know, because Chip Kelly obviously has changed some of the routine of a regular season to where they have players are off on Monday, I think, and then they practice on Tuesday, Wednesday, etc. And Jeff Fisher, I saw this week, had changed the way that his week of practice goes. You know, when you make a decision like that, is that something that you hear about other people doing? Hey, let's try it. Or is this something that Scott Truluck, the athletic trainer, along with, you know, whoever else makes something, a decision like that, and health of team doctors?
Right.
How do you come to that and say, let's change it up?
Right. I think the truth of the matter is this. You know, maybe most wouldn't agree with it, but I think that you do give credit to Chip Kelly, you know, where people go, no, we just did our research on our own and we came up with this. Well, I think that, you know, the NFL is pretty traditional, and you have your, hey, Tuesday's off, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
yeah.
And it's been like that. But I think Chip came in and said, you know what, I'm going to be a little unconventional. And he did things differently, and I think it really woke people up to say, you know what, we need to look at this. Now, from that point on, I think it is more in-house and your research and the information you're finding out. And, you know, we did do extensive research and talking to people and kind of came up with what we thought would be best, not only for our players, but the environment we live in, because that's different. So I would think he stimulated it, but mm-hmm. I think the changes that you're seeing are really based on information that coaches have found out through their studies.
That's, I'm glad that you did that, because a lot of times when – people talk, you know, like Jeff Fisher, whoever it was that I was reading about the team that is going to be having some changes, you know, they reference Chip Kelly and you're like, well, you know, we do our own decision making and we follow our own path. And but I mean, it's interesting that you give them credit, because I mean, really, sometimes the NFL needs to be shaken up sometimes.
Yeah. And you know, and I can't speak for Jeff Fisher. Maybe that's what they did do. I just know that you know, you're always looking and you're always trying to stay above everybody else, you know, in that competitive edge. And, you know, I think you should have enough humility to look and see what's happening. And then you try to take it up another level. And you have to do what works for your team. Every culture is different. Every team is different. So you have to really be convicted on it and do what you think is best for your team.
All right, folks. The Jaguars in Ride Smart Florida have partnered to provide a dedicated motorcycle parking lot near Everbank Field. At this Sunday's game versus Carolina, the first 25 fans in the motorcycle lot will park free. For more information, go to Jaguars.com. We'll talk a little Carolina Panthers with the head coach right after this, right here on The Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Join John Osher and J.P. Shadrick for Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. They'll have special guests, keep you informed of the latest Jaguars news, and take your social media questions. Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. on Jaguars.com. And we are back here on the Gus Bradley Show, the head coach, Jeff Logman, alongside you here. The Carolina Panthers, the first name when you think of the Carolina Panthers is Cam Newton. And I remember watching Cam Newton last year. He had a difficult year last year. And a lot of people forget this. And that he was coming off of an ankle surgery. And then he had like a rib thing going on. And then a lot of people have completely forgotten about that he was in a car wreck right in the middle of last season. and came back and played, I think, very early from that car accident. I don't think he missed a game, and if he did, it was maybe only one game. And then led his team to four consecutive wins to close out the season to capture the NFC South title and go into the playoffs. Pretty impressive.
It is impressive. And I think, you know, I don't know Cam, but boy, he appears to be a strong leader for that team. You know, I think they rally around him. You know, but when I think of Cam, I think a strong arm, very strong arm, and very strong legs. You know, his ability to run and even in the pocket, you know, Logs, you rush the passer, you maybe bring a pressure or two, and I've just been involved where we game planned against him before, and you hit him and he bounce off, or you try to tackle him low and he throws a 40-yard pass, you tackle him high and, you know, you bounce off him, so you really got to have an idea how to go attack him.
He reminds me a lot. I mean, I remember the first time that I saw Josh Freeman, who you were there at Tampa, right, when Josh Freeman was there.
I wasn't there with him. But
not there? Okay.
No.
But I remember the first time I saw Josh Freeman. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, a big quarterback. And then when I saw Cam Newton, which Josh was just tall, big, Cam Newton, muscular, well-proportioned, 6'5" or whatever he is, 245 pounds, he's a tremendous athlete.
He really is. You know, and to stand strong in the pocket, his height obviously is an advantage for him. He can see downfield. He has no fear now. He will throw into tight coverage and trust his arm, and his accuracy is good. So, yeah, just a very, very talented. I can remember when he came out and we were evaluating him in Seattle. And although I didn't have much to do on the offense, I can remember our quarterback coach just how well he thought of him when he was coming out.
He lost one of his big weapons, Kelvin Benjamin, who was their late first-round draft pick last year out of Florida State. Kelvin Benjamin last year had 73 catches, a little over 1,000 yards, and 9 touchdowns, a tremendous weapon for Cam Newton. And now he's gone. And the one guy that is returning for Cam Newton this year is tight end Greg Olsen, who himself last year had over 1,000 yards receiving on, was like 84 catches, 6 touchdowns. I would think that he is a guy that's going to get a lot of attention from your defense.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's that fine line to where, you know, you have, you know where he's at, and you say, hey, we got to double him. We got to take a rover and move down to him and make sure they're going to have a lot of targets on him, and it makes you weak in other areas. It's always the challenge. So I think the big deal is to have really good awareness of where he's at and understand that, like I said, in the third preseason game, he had 9 targets in the first half. So obviously a guy that he feels very comfortable with. So that awareness is there, but it's the NFL, and there's a lot of threats, a lot of guys that can do damage, and it's important that I think you're sound as well.
Ted Ginn Jr. in the starting lineup along with, I guess he wants his name changed to Philly Brown. Last year or offseason, he was known as Corey Brown, a young wide receiver out of Ohio State. And then you also have Jericho Cotchery, who's been a little bit of nicked up. And then Kevin Norwood, a guy who was a draft pick of the Seattle Seahawks last year. Kind of an inexperienced group mixed in with a couple journeymen.
Yeah, they've got some speed now, you know, and Ginn. So it's a good group. I mean, obviously an injury like that, it does affect you. But I think of us with Julius Thomas, you know, as an injury. But they're professionals, and you move on until he comes back, and you see guys step up. And that's the same thing that will happen. They'll have guys step up, maybe guys that you haven't heard of, or, you know, maybe it's Norwood, somebody like that, or, you know, Ted starts, you know, coming on. But the challenge with their offense is they want to run the ball. They really want to establish a run. And then off of that, the play passes, and which create more separation between the receivers. And there's opening in zone, or if it's man coverage, there's just some openings in there because of the threat of the run.
Is that kind of similar to the challenges that you faced last year, going back to the opener, against the Philadelphia Eagles?
Very similar, extremely similar. One thing is just the tempo you had to deal with last year, although they could jump into it. We have to be ready for that. And then I think that the option, the ability for this quarterback, Cam, to run the ball.
As opposed to last year, Nick Foles.
You said, okay, he might run it, but he's not going to make a living out of it. Where Cam, he can spring one for 60 on you. So you have to have greater awareness of that. But there is a lot of similarities.
Okay, today in a press conference, I had read that you talked about Dwayne Grotz being your next corner in when you go to the nickel package. And when we come back here, on the Gus Bradley Show. We'll talk about that topic with the head coach and get more information as to how that decision-making was made right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And this segment of the Gus Bradley Show is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. Gus, before we went to the commercial break today, you had, I don't know if it was actually announced, but talked about that when you go to your nickel package and you bring in the extra defensive back, when Aaron Colvin slides into the nickel position, Dwayne Grotz would be the corner that comes in. Now, will he take his place on that one side of the defense, or how will that work?
Yeah, I think that he'll generally play that side. Without giving too much, sometimes we'll match. You know, we have the ability to match. So, but predominantly that side.
And that a lot of people say, well, what happened to Demetrius McCray? But I think the better question would be, tell us about Dwayne Grotz.
Yeah, well, Demetrius McCray's had a good training camp, too. He's done some good things, and we're just fortunate to be in the position we are to have a couple good corners. So, but Dwayne Grotz has just played really steady, has really been consistent in his play. I think his mind, the way he thinks and the way he approaches it, he's in a good frame of mind right now, and it's a credit to him. So he'll get a great opportunity, and we have a lot of confidence in him.
And he's been kind of quiet. I don't want to say super quiet, but he's been quietly having a good training camp, and it's a young player that I guess you kind of had to fight back a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and it's gone
because he was demoted a little bit.
Well, and had an injury and came back from that. But that's what I think. He's just really remained strong, and I don't know. I just I have a good feeling about where he's at and how he's going about it. And, he just keeps getting better and better. And, he'll grow. He'll grow through the position. And, but he's competing and he's really challenging receivers.
How many of these decisions, whether it be Devon House or Aaron Colvin being in the starting lineup, Dwayne Grotz being the corner that comes in on nickel, Sergio Brown acquired in free agency. Last year as a defense, you had 6 interceptions. And that's not a great number. You guys caused a ton of fumbles. I think you were one of the top 5 teams in the league at causing fumbles. But how many of these decisions are made with the thought process, we need to get our hands on the ball more and have takeaways in the interceptions category?
Well, I think there's something to that. But I also think that as you grow with experience, you start figuring out the game a little bit more. It allows you to make calculated decisions. And, with those calculated decisions, get more opportunities to get interceptions. And it comes with experience. And I think you see that with a lot of guys first coming into the league. Now, so I think that's what we're excited about with some of these guys like a Dwayne Grotz and a Colvin. And, as they gain experience, those opportunities will come. But a House and a, Sergio and, those guys, the additions, it just creates more competition. And I think that speeds up the experience factor.
Speeds it up, huh?
Yeah, I just think, you can see guys play, more consistently with that.
It's competition, not the greatest coach in the world.
It is, but how they approach it, because if you let competition overwhelm you, it will. And I think if you can go through it and learn that it's really about you and how you play the game and you come out of it with that mindset, it makes you that much stronger. I think that's the value of competition.
How hard is it to teach that philosophy to the players that are in a competition and say, hey, look, this is good for you, this is good for him, it's good for everybody?
Well, it's one of our central themes. It is our central theme, competition. So we talk very candidly about it. That, it's one-on-ones. It's, Dwayne Grotz versus Allen Robinson. And he should love Allen Robinson. And Allen Robinson loves Grotz because, they're challenging each other with the idea, I'm going to challenge you so hard to make you better. And it's vice versa. So they appreciate one another. And I think that's where it comes into play. And but to develop that type of mindset, I think it's challenging. But our players have really bought into that part of it.
I want to, before we go to commercial break, you guys had the players vote on captains, right?
Yes.
Was that a solely players say, hey, look, you know, everybody vote for one guy on offense, one guy on defense, one guy on special teams? And so that was all players?
It is all players, and I'm glad you brought that up because one of the players said, hey, did the coaches vote on this? And I failed to mention that in the team meeting. I said,
and?
You know what, that's a great question. No, the coaches don't vote on it. And, you know, it's purely on the players. And, you know, if I had it all over again to do Lux, I would probably have them vote and then in the meeting room in front of them count them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just say, here it is. You know, mm-hmm. and, you know, we didn't do that. We took them and you know, we count them up and then we gave it to the players and, you know, and they got the results. But I think, you know, make it even that much more powerful, I think it would answer some questions as far as who's truly involved in this.
I can hear somebody right now saying, go ahead and say it. And it's a good friend of ours, and he's going to say, you can't have the coaches vote because there's too many. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know what? The coaches, you know, the players know, right? The
yeah.
players know in the locker room, the guys that are playing well and who the leaders are. And the coaches, sometimes they have their feelings, but the players get it right. And I think that's why it's so important. And, you know, we talk about voting for captains, and it's a great honor for our guys. Great honor to be chosen by your teammates. But we need all 63 now. It doesn't mean that just because we have these captains that other guys stop leading. We need everybody, and I think that's what's cool within our framework of our team.
All 63, which you're including 10 practice squad members as well.
That's right.
And that's a nice thing to do there. All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, I want to talk about specifically a couple of these captains that were named, Mercedes Lewis and Paul Pozlesny. We'll do that here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
For season tickets, single game tickets, or to learn more about being a Jaguars 365 member, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Jeff Logman alongside the head coach, Gus Bradley. And Gus, the previous segment was talking about the process of naming captains. And one of them in particular, kind of, I guess, was reaching a milestone in his career. Paul Pozlesny will play his 100th regular season game in the National Football League this Sunday. And a lot of times I think that through all the conversation, Paul Pozlesny sometimes gets, I don't want to say taken for granted, but in a way, kind of so.
Underappreciated.
Yeah, underappreciated.
You know, and, you know, I don't know. I know within the locker room and the coaching staff, he's greatly appreciated for what he brings. I think Greg Jones told me, he said, I think since Puz has been here, he's been the captain. You know, and what a tribute to Puz. You know, just the you know, and you want younger guys to emulate a person or to match a person, their work ethic and how they go about the business. And what a great one for those guys to watch, because he is a true pro now.
He is an unbelievable pro. Watching him, the way that he prepares on game day, from watching how the way he practices.
Eats.
He eats everything, yeah. You know, I'm sure lifting weights and everything else. And I'm sure he's such quite an example. Just truly impressive young man. The other guy that I thought tremendous accomplishment being named the captain was Mercedes Lewis. And we'll get to the quarterback in a minute. But Mercedes Lewis, here it is. You know, it's the off season, and everybody's talking about, okay, he coming off of an injury, and then all of a sudden free agency rolls around, and you guys go out and you sign Julius Thomas. Is there a role for Mercedes Lewis? And, you know, things get done. He gets his contract reworked or whatever it is, comes to training camp, and I think might have had his best training camp ever. And clearly he's healthy. His attitude was exceptional throughout training camp from talking to him. And here he gets named as one of the team captains. Tremendous honor.
Ultimate humility, huh? I mean,
yeah.
To go through what he's gone through and didn't blink. I mean, the same guy, the same leader. And just like earlier when we were talking about, you know, the players know. You know, and there's might be talk on the outside, but the players voted him captain. You know, and because the players know. They know the type of training camp he's had, the work that he puts into it, and the type of pro he is. And it's such a great credit. And Mercedes and I talked about this. I said, what a great credit, man. I'm not even talking about on the field as you as a player. Just the respect these players have for you and how you handled this whole situation. So another true pro now.
How important is it to have guys like that? And not just one or two, but multiple guys in a locker room that know how to be a pro.
Well, you would take as many as you can get. I'll put it that way. But the challenge is there's not many, you know, that can handle it the way he did. And so, again, I think there's another one that we have great appreciation for and, you know, can be underappreciated probably at times. But, you know, I think, like I said, the players on the, in the locker room, they know, and the coaches as well.
How about Blake Bortles being named the captain?
Cool.
Pretty good. Pretty yeah. nice thing. I mean, because, you know, I mean, he's a young quarterback, and quarterbacks are always looked upon as natural leaders, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be named a captain.
You know what? What I appreciate about Blake is that he is real now. He is a real guy. And you talk about his, what he went through last year from not starting to starting to now where he is starting. And another guy that in the locker room really hasn't changed. And the players gravitate towards him, they trust him. And, you know, he hasn't wavered on who he is. And I think that's what makes a captain. You know, you got to know who you're counting on in good times and bad. And who can you count on to bring that consistency to the team? And, you know, at his age and what he's brought to the table, you know, really a great credit for Blake.
Do you look back on last year, which I remember, you know, the kind of the vision was is that he would kind of sit and watch and learn. And then he was eventually put in, I think it was week four, to where he started 13 games the remainder of the season. Do you ever look back on that and go, you know what, I'm glad it worked out that way? Because he has grown so much from that point to where he is now.
Well, there's things that I think that happen, and you look back and you go, God, I wish it would have, you know, probably should have done that thing different. And, you know, there's always things that could come up. But, yeah, looking back at it, it was a great experience for him. You know, the way he handled it, the way the experience, and I think it really put him in position in off season to really work on his weaknesses. And he's done that. And, you know, through that, he'll grow from it. And so, yeah, I mean, as you look back at it, I think it was a good experience. Sometimes, you know, when you go through a lot of sacks like that, it's hard. It's hard on a quarterback. But we've talked all along that we're on this path, and once we drafted Blake, this race to maturity, and we're trying to speed up this maturation process for him so it's not year five or year six to where he figures it out. Let's try to speed this thing up. And the way he's going now, you know, he's on pace.
Well, and if he has to speed things up out of the pocket this week, he'd better be real quick and speedy to watch out for number 59. That's Luke Kuechly. We'll talk about him on the other side of the break here on the Gus Bradley Show, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. And Gus, prior to the break there, talking about Blake needing to be quick-footed with the linebacker Luke Kuechly. I've watched.
Well, before we get to that, can you talk about Brian Anger?
Well, we can talk.
Captain, man.
He's a kicker.
Hey, no, you know.
All right,
what?
Go ahead. Talk about Brian Anger.
No. I mean, what a tribute to him. Now, Josh Scobie has been a captain, but Brian Anger. You know, a lot of times you have a guy on special teams that you say, "Hey, he's the guy, makes all the coverage tackles,"
I would rather see that than it go to a kicker.
Well, but
because it would mean that you have a jam-up, special teams, four-core player.
Well,
and I think you're still identifying
I'll
that.
Give you an example, and I hate to reference back, but it's just what I'm familiar with, Seattle. Mm-hmm. I mean, very, very good special teams unit, some guys on there. And guess who their captain is? John Ryan, the punter. I mean, that's it's no longer like that. If they have a guy, the impact some of these guys have, he has an impact on the kicker, he has an impact on Carson Tinker and some of the guys, and the guys recognize it. So, again, a great tribute to him now.
Do you expect to, staying on that topic of Brian Anger, do you expect him to be able to have a big year? Because, you know, Brian's always had a big leg, and it's a big gross average, but as far as the net average and then also the ability to put punts down inside the 10 or the 20-yard
line? Well, I can say he's worked on that, you know, put a lot of effort into it. I think that's what he identified he needed to work on, and he's put tremendous time into it. But, you know, if you sit down and talk to him, fascinating. I mean, how he goes about his job. I mean, no negative talk, no don'ts. You know, I never say don't put the ball too far inside. Don't drop it too early. Don't. It's all positive self-talk, and that's what's made him effective. And, I mean, the conversations that you have, I know you go, oh, just a kicker. Man, it's fascinating. And these guys, you know, no different than anybody else in the team. They take their task, their skill set, and place a lot of importance on it, and they're another true professional.
No. I mean, there's nothing better than a punter that can kick it 70 yards when you're backed up at the 5-yard line.
Yeah, then you have a great appreciation.
Then you really appreciate the kicker and the punter.
Yeah, that's right. And maybe because I was a punter, you know, Logs? I mean, free safety
first. You got a soft spot.
Free safety first.
No. Tell the truth.
I was.
Were you a punter first?
Well, yeah, because I was a backup free safety. But, I mean, it's helped me because I have a great appreciation for him now.
Okay. What was your net average punting?
You know what? It was just.
You know what? What was your percentage
of inside
the 20?
Right? It doesn't matter. Okay, now let's get back to it.
All right, let's get back to Kuechly. Watching him on film, going all the way back to the days of watching Ray Lewis, and watched a lot of film on Ray, and he was an incredible athlete, great competitor. Watching this Luke Kuechly guy reminds me a little bit of watching Ray. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, they're in the same category because Ray did it for a long period of time and was a tremendous player. But you're seeing those traits out of Luke Kuechly. Made the Pro Bowl the last two times. I think he's led the NFL in tackles over the last couple of years. But a tremendous player.
Well, let's go back to this. I know somewhere in our conversations we're going to talk about Charles Tillman and
yes,
the ability he has. And Charles Tillman's played with Brian Urlacher, who I've seen and thought of as one of the best linebackers that played the game since I've been in the league. And Charles Tillman said Luke Kuechly, you know, is one of the best linebackers he's ever played around, maybe the best he's ever played around. So he's putting him in a category of Brian Urlacher or above that. And
pretty strong statement.
Pretty real strong statement. So you're right. This guy has a tremendous impact on this team. As far as his leadership, his instincts are unbelievable. And you can tell, right, in Boston College, led the team in tackles and maybe led the conference and the NFL, you know, one of the leaders in tackles. So he gets it. He understands that not only the run game but the pass game as well.
What I like most about him is watching in the preseason game number three that I watched, he had an opportunity to come across the field and to put a pretty good hit on somebody that had the ball. At the time, one of his teammates was holding the guy up. You know, preseason game, a lot of guys might just go, yeah, I'm not going to take that hit. You know, it's preseason game. He's 100 miles an hour, and he put everything he had into hitting that guy, and he's got a lot of nasty to him.
Well, I think there's nothing like watching an NFL game in person. I mean, to be there and to watch the game. And if you're there in person, this is a guy that you're gonna watch, and you're going to see him run around the field quite a bit and making a lot of plays.
All right, when we come back here on the Gus Bradley Show, we'll talk about the other guy that you were talking about, and that's Charles Tillman, the longtime corner for the Chicago Bears, and we'll do that on the Gus Bradley Show right here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach Gus Bradley here with the Gus Bradley Show. And Gus, the running back position I think is probably overanalyzed in the media a lot of times because, I mean, there's so many guys that you have that you could potentially play. And then I know that earlier in the week you said, well, you know, we're still kind of working through that as coaches to how everybody plays. Does it really matter? I mean, isn't all that matters that when you get to game day, you play guys in certain roles and then maybe see who's playing really well and then leave them in?
I think it's more of that approach. You know, I know as a defensive coach, minded head coach, you look at running backs and you say, all right, this is the back. Jonathan Stewart, okay, we have to have a plan for him now, and he has this certain running style. And then you might have another guy that gets a little bit of playing time, and you look at him, but your main focus is on the main guy. Well, now defenses have to come up with a plan for who's going to be in the game. And, you know, it forces them to spend time looking at all of them. And, you know, that's a good thing for us. So, but you're right. I think you wait and see and how it goes. And I think like a guy like T.J. Yeldon, you'll see him grow as the season goes on. You know, he's had, you know, only, what, 10 carries in the preseason. But I think as his comfort level grows, you'll see him get more opportunities. But, you know, we'll wait and see and let that develop as it develops.
I'm sure that Kelly Skipper had plenty of conversations with those running backs about the way you carry the ball when Charles Tillman is in the neighborhood. Charles Tillman, longtime Chicago Bear, we talked about his comments about Luke Kuechly. Charles Tillman has 42 career-caused fumbles. I mean, that's an amazing number. And most of the time, he's not getting it against wide receivers. It's when he comes into the pile and he literally just, like a boxer, punches the ball directly.
Yeah, he's first of all, you look at his body type, and he's got really, really long arms. He's got great length. He's very strong. And then his years of experience, he just has a knack at it. And you're right, it is just a quick punch. It's like a jab. And, you know, he'll do it anywhere on the field, you know, in a pile, out in open space. He just has a knack for it, and he'll do it, you know, as you're getting close to the sideline or, like I said, out in the open field, but really has a knack. Now, you say, hey, you got to be aware of where Charles Tillman is. I'm sure that has spread, you know, through their defense, and I'm sure a lot of the guys have picked up on it because teams throughout the league, because of so many fumbles that he's had, have studied Charles Tillman and tried to pick up on some of those same principles.
Yeah, a tremendous player. He's been around for a very long time in his 13th year out of Louisiana Lafayette. Not only the 42 caused fumbles, but 36 career interceptions, has had a tremendous career. And we come back here on the Gus Bradley Show, kind of a little bit of a family affair this weekend for a couple coaches that will be on the field here at Everbank, and we'll talk about that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Last segment to go here with the head coach and Gus. A little bit of a family affair, as I mentioned before the break. Kelly Skipper, your running backs coach, his dad is the running backs coach for the Carolina Panthers. His dad, his name is Jim. Pretty neat. That's kind of a unique thing in the National Football League because it's not a lot of times you have the father-son thing where the young coach or the son is kind of in a, you know, assistant position, not like a positional coach, but an assistant to the offense or an assistant to the defense. But here's two, you know, flat-out position coaches on the field at the same time.
Right, or they're generally on the same staff.
Yeah.
You know, like Norv and Scott Turner, both up in Minnesota. You know, so, yeah, to have it work out this way, it's great. I mean, we've been jabbing Skip up the whole week about, hey, you know, shut down the fax machines, you know, and, you know, what information. But, you know, now those two now, they're extremely, extremely competitive. So I know they haven't probably talked since the start of training camp. But, no, it's great, though, to see that and, you know, to be able to have a chance to do that with a father-son, it's awesome.
On game day, one of the other matchups besides the father-son matchup, the one that I'm looking maybe most forward to is watching your right tackle, Jeremy Parnell, against Charles Johnson, the defensive end for the Carolina Panthers. Charles Johnson, I have a lot of respect for. He's a true left defensive end that has, I think, over 50 or 60. Let me see. I got the number written down right here. He has 62.5 career sacks, but five consecutive seasons where he's had 8.5 sacks or better. For a true left defensive end, it's pretty amazing.
It is. You know, I remember Patrick Kearney was a true left end that had quite a few sacks. And, but, you know, and when you're going against the right tackle, so that is going to be a great matchup there on the perimeter. Jeremy, I know, is up for the challenge and excited about it. But, you know, they've got some pass rushers now. And, you know, especially when you see third down situations arise.
Yeah, and I've got some other young players there as well. Coney Ely, I think I pronounced that name right, their second-round pick last year out of Missouri. They could be missing, and the reports are is that they're going to be missing Star Lotulelei, which is the cousin of your special teams linebacker, John Lotulelei. if they don't have him, which, you know, looks like they're not going to, watching Starlet Lele on film, he's a tremendous player.
He is. And, you know, a high draft pick that has played very well for them in the past. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, at this time of the year, you know, you hope not to have any injuries, but injuries are part of the game. And so they'll miss him, but I'm sure they'll get an opportunity to get him back.
What do you say to your team the night before the opening game?
Well, you know what? I always tell a team that when it's hard and fun, then you know it's great. And it's going to be hard. And the challenge is there in front of us. But you want them to be excited about the opportunity and to really enjoy the whole experience. And that's what allows us to be at our best.
And I'm looking forward to it because I know the fans are excited. I was telling you earlier today that I go to a restaurant the other day and they say, hey, they're closed on Sunday. That's it, because they're all supporting the Jaguars. We'll talk to everybody same time, same place next week right here on the Gus Bradley Show.